Thank you for the good singing. We're going to move into the time now when we're going to just have this part of the service dedicated as a memorial for little Isaiah. I've asked Brother Bragg to help with the reading of the obituary. And then Brother Schrock had some scriptures that he thought he would appreciate being read tonight. You can read along with Brother Bragg in those scriptures. And then he and Naomi are going to sing. And I'll follow that up with some comments. So Brother Bragg, you come.
Isaiah Morrison Schrock, son of David J. and Gina Marie Kyle Schrock, was stillborn at 6:56 p.m. Wednesday, March 26, 2014, at Hannibal Regional Hospital in Hannibal. Survivors include his parents, David J. and Gina Marie Kyle Schrock, formerly of the Philadelphia, Missouri area, currently serving as Christian missionaries in the former Soviet Republic of Belarus. One sister, Catherine Schrock, grandparents, Joe and Rachel Schrock of Maywood, Missouri, and Marlene Lewis of Bourbonnais, Illinois. Uncles Henry Schrock, Alvin Schrock, Eli Schrock, Ira Schrock, Noah Schrock, Irvin Schrock, and Brandon Rigsby. Aunts Wilma Furse, Sarah Burns, and Emma Nogowski, and numerous cousins. If you'll turn your Bibles now to Psalms chapter 61, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. And then the next passage of Scripture will be Psalms 139, 1 through 18. Psalm 61, 1 through 5. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. You'll turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 139. Begin reading verses 1 through 18. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I stay, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to me, to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven, praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh how I miss you so. Somehow I know if you could, then you'd let me know.
If you'd be kind, if it doesn't hurt
Isaiah, he's very blessed tonight. The difficulty is for those left behind. They're the ones that have the hole in the heart. Dad, mom, and of course the friends of the family and the extended family. And I hope tonight that I can say some things that might be a help to Dave and Gina, especially. If you have your Bible open to Job chapter 23, Dave also thought it might be interesting to the congregation to know a little bit about where they got Isaiah's middle name, Morrison. It was from the testimony of a missionary by the name of Robert Morrison that kind of captured Dave and Gina's attention some years ago. Had just a little summary of a bio on his life and ministry. Robert Morrison was an Anglo-Scottish evangelist, the first Protestant missionary in China. Thought this was interesting. After 25 years of work, he translated the whole Bible into the Chinese language and baptized 10 Chinese believers. And friend, you may not think that that's doing a lot, but I'm going to tell you what, that's pioneering work, and that's amazing. Morrison pioneered the translation of the Bible into Chinese and planned for the distribution of the Scriptures as broadly as possible. He served for 27 years in China with one furlough home to England. The only missionary efforts in China were restricted to Guangzhou, or better known as Canton, I guess, easier known as Canton, I guess I should say, and Macau. He and a few of his contemporaries concentrated on literature distribution among members of the merchant class. They gained a few converts and laid the foundation for more educational and medical work that would significantly impact the culture and history of the most populous nation on earth. However, when Morrison was asked shortly after his arrival in China if he expected to have any spiritual impact on the Chinese, he answered, "No, sir, but I expect God will." I thought that was great. He faced some seemingly impossible obstacles right from the beginning. First of all, Chinamen were forbidden by the government to teach the language to anyone under the penalty of death. Secondly, no one could remain in China except for purposes of trade. Thirdly, the Roman Catholic missionaries at Macau, who were protected by the Portuguese, were bitterly hostile and stirred up the people against the Protestant missionaries. Morrison overcame incredible odds and worked diligently to lay the foundation for future missionaries in China. During his life, he compiled and published a dictionary of the Chinese language, founded the Anglo-Chinese College at Malacca, and for several years labored alone on a Chinese version of the Holy Scriptures, which he was able to see complete and widely circulated among those for whom it was destined. He died in Canton on August 1st, 1834. And Dave and Gina just were impressed by his testimony and his ministry, and of course, in the work they've been involved in now for, has it been 20 years, Brother Dave, since you've been, sir? Yeah, close to 20 years in Belarus. They've been in a pioneering effort over there as well, and chose the name Morrison for little Isaiah's middle name. Pastor Dan Dietrich, pastor in Missouri, eulogized little Isaiah very appropriately at the gravesite service last, I believe it was Friday, in Missouri. And I just felt impressed tonight to kind of target my comments to Dave and Gina. I'd like to try to be a blessing to them tonight. They did another little thing at the church in Missouri on Sunday night, and so things have been said about little Isaiah and his being in heaven. If I could summarize what Brother Dietrich said at the gravesite, it was he pondered what could he say about what could he say that Isaiah ever did, and then the Spirit of God impressed upon his heart to say things that he never did. He never told a lie. And other things like that, never disobeyed his parents and so forth. So he eulogized Isaiah very appropriately. And so tonight I would like to really talk with Dave and Gina for a little bit, kind of publicly from the pulpit, and maybe something that I would say tonight. Maybe the Holy Spirit would use it to be an encouragement to the rest of us as well. I would not be so foolish as to say, I know how you feel. I wouldn't say that. My wife and I never had to walk through this kind of valley. Most of the folks in this room tonight have not shared your loss and this trial. A couple of people have, and of course those people can best identify with the grief and sorrow that you folks are experiencing and have experienced these last several days. They can best identify also, Brother Dave, as you said, with the fog and the confusion of this hour, and we know in the hours to come in your lives. Job was a man who knew something about sorrow and loss. We know that. No set of parents ever expects to bury one child, much less 10. And that was after the loss of all of his possessions. Albeit, I'll promise you, the loss of those possessions didn't seem to matter a lick when it's compared to losing 10 children. After the initial shock and the reality of the lost set in, I think from reading the book there, Job hit a difficult time. He had a tough stretch in his life. And you can't blame him. You would expect that. You know, the three friends came to talk to him, try to comfort him. Eliphaz, one of those friends, had spoken in chapter 22. If you have your Bible there, to chapter 20, I said 23, we'll be there in just a minute. But in chapter 22, verse 21, look what Eliphaz told Job. He said, acquaint now thyself with him, talking about God, and be at peace thereby, and be at peace thereby good shall come unto thee. Eliphaz counseled Job. He said, Job, acquaint yourself with God. Get close to God. Get some word from him, and it will help you be at peace. Now, Eliphaz was well-meaning. Just like all people who are not sure what to say to you at times like this are well-meaning. Things like God will help you. Statements like God will comfort you. God will make this trial a blessing, so forth and so on. And I'm not making fun or disparaging those comments. They bring a measure of comfort and help, but sometimes they don't really bring a lot of help. And I don't think Job's friend brought a lot of comfort to him. When he said, acquaint yourself with God, draw close to him, get some word from him, and you'll be at peace. It'll give you peace. Because look what Job said in verse number 8 of chapter 23. Job said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. You know, Job, what Job's response was, Eliphaz, I would love to acquaint myself with God. I would love to get close enough to God to get a word of peace and comfort from him. But I don't even know where to find God. I can't find him. I've looked for him. I've gone forward, he's not there. I've gone backward, he's not there. On the left hand, and I can't find him. On the right hand, and I cannot find God. You tell me to acquaint myself with him, get some word from him. It'll give me some peace and some help. I'd love to, but I can't find him. And that may be where you are right now. And I don't think that's abnormal. And I don't think you should put yourself on a guilt trip. This is just kind of hard to find God in. How many years of not being able to have children? Then a precious little girl. Time is running out. You're getting older. And can we have another baby? And now the excitement of a little boy. And he's gone. Where is God in all this? Eliphaz, if I could find God, I might could get a word from him. But it's pretty difficult to see him in all of this. Dave and Gina, I think it's a critical time that is upon both of you. It's not easy, certainly difficult to wrap your understanding around the circumstances of this incident being so close to the joy of receiving that little boy child. You are tonight where Job was. Different circumstances, but very similar. And you know, Job had already said all the right things. Right things like, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good things and right things like, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In fact, the Bible says that in all this, Job didn't charge God foolishly nor sin with his lips. He said all the right things. And you know what? He probably meant them. He probably was sincere. I don't doubt that for a minute. And I'm positive that you all have said all the right things in my conversations with both of you. You have said all the right things. And I believe you're sincere and you mean them and you wouldn't ever be hypocritical about it. But now here we find Job a short time later really struggling to put all this together. He's not wanting to question God. He's not wanting to accuse God. But he really would have liked to have had some understanding of why. Why? And understanding and answers is not what he got till the end of the book. But at this point in time, he doesn't have that understanding and he doesn't have those answers. But he does recall three truths about God. The God that he said he could not find, but about whom he remembered these things. And you know, Dave and Gina, at the end of life, at the end of the book, there's going to be complete understanding and answers. But that, who knows when that will happen. But I want you to notice the things that Job recalled about God, because I believe the things that he recalled helped him, and I believe they can help you. The first thing Job recalled is this truth. I can't find God, but I know, number one, God is watching. Because look what he said in verse number 10. After saying in verses 8 and 9, I can't find God anywhere, in front of me, behind me, left and right, he said in verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. It's like Job is saying, I cannot see God, but God can see me, and that is what I choose to remember. It is true in life. We hit those seasons where we cannot find God in our circumstances. We cannot see God. But remember, He can see us. And we don't know what is ahead on the road of life for us, but He does. And one thing for sure, Brother Dave, Gina, God is not going to take you down a road without you having all that you need to successfully make the journey. I believe that with all my heart. Right now, it's very difficult to see the road ahead. To see how you can return to Belarus and leave flesh and blood buried here in America. To see how you can ever have that same joy again. To see how you can ever climb out of the darkness that clouds your mind. To see how life could ever be the same. It's hard to see down the road ahead. But I want to remind you tonight that God is watching and He knows the way that you take. And He will not take you where His grace will not keep you, where His love will not warm your heart, and where His peace will not comfort you, if you let it. And that's huge. Don't make the mistake that Jacob made. You remember when they came to him with their lie about Joseph's death, and how they brought the coat of many colors with the blood of the animals on it and said, "Dad, a wild beast jumped on Joseph and killed him." Jacob began to mourn, and Jacob, the Bible says, refused to be comforted. Now think about that. God is watching. You don't see, you can't see the road ahead, but God is watching and knows the road that you're going to take. And Dave and Gina, again, His grace, His love, and His peace will be there to comfort and keep and warm your heart. Please let Him do it. Please let Him do it. Don't push it away. God is watching. Job remembered that. The second thing Job remembered, that not only is God watching, but in verse number 10, notice that God is waiting. Because look at verse 10 again. He knoweth the way that I take. And then I love this little phrase, when He hath tried me. You know, we can be thankful that the trial has an ending. When He hath tried me. Tests and trials do not last forever. They have a starting point, and thankfully, they have an ending point. Now, at the present, it seems this trial will never have an ending. How do you get over this? But it will. You will never forget Isaiah, and because of that, you think, how can this trial ever end? And Dave and Gina, to some degree, it may last through this life. But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And Christians have to remember at times like this that this life is minute in comparison to the hope that waits for us because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know. When we see the many loved ones we have known here below, gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Brother and Mrs. Larry Brown, I worked out there for 10 years. They buried their firstborn son, David, after he lived for 2 days. Frank and Jesse Kent buried their only little girl, Kara, stillborn to them. Ryan and Debbie Maxwell buried their fourth son, Nathan, after he lived for just a few minutes. These parents have never forgotten their little ones, but the critical period of testing that came at the death did have an ending. Those families are all serving God faithfully, having found that God does heal wounds to some degree. Dave and Gina, time does not heal wounds. Time reveals that God heals wounds. And He does. And eventually, even though it may never be complete in this life, God will heal the wound completely when you stand in that blessed place called heaven. And all trials and tests truly are no more. God is waiting for His perfect time to end all trials and tests. So God is watching. God is waiting. The third thing Job remembered at this difficult time in his life is at the end of verse number 10, it's where I want to point out that God is working. Look what it says. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God is working. And even though you may not see God at work right now or feel God at work, He does not sit idle. God does not sit on His hands. God is working in ways that are mysterious and unseen to you. God is working in you, no doubt, but that He is going to work through you as a result of this. And as a result of that, He's going to work on others around you. There's no telling what God may do in Belarus. Remember, it was the death of Mrs. Louise Champlin's mother on the mission field in Africa that God used to finally break through the darkness of the minds of those natives. There had been no converts until Mrs. Grings died. And then those elder men in the village came to him after the burial to Brother Grings, and they wanted to get to know his God because of the way he had conducted himself through the passing of his wife. They had never seen Christian go through that kind of loss. Five of them got saved. And that started the chain reaction through the rest of the village. God is making gold out of this. Gold in your life and hopefully in the lives of others. You may question why He chose to make gold this way. And only eternity will reveal the answers to that and so many other questions that go through your mind right now. But right now, Dave and Gina, you can find some measure of peace in knowing that He is at work. He's working. Better it is that He is at work than He leaves you alone. Poor indeed is the Christian who is left alone by God. And as long as the clay is on the wheel, God is going to keep working on it. And don't forget, only God can make gold out of clay. If He does not work on us, we're left as clay as opposed to gold. So in a time of confusion and fog, and Job had said all the right things and he had responded at the loss of all the children, the possessions, he had responded rightly and handled everything just like a Christian should. But then sometime after that, he hit a time period where he just was confused. And as you mentioned, I said earlier, the fog of it all happening. And Job, you ought to really get close to God and acquaint yourself with Him. And then you could get some help. I'd love to, Eliphaz, but I can't find Him. But I'm not going to forget that He is watching, He is waiting, and He's working. That's what Job remembered. And then if I could quickly say at the end here, notice how he responded in verse number 12. He said, actually verse number 11, he said, "My foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept, and not declined." Job kept God's way. In spite of the sorrow, in spite of the loss, in spite of the grief, he kept God's way. He did not deviate. For all those years, Dave, Gina, y'all stayed on track. All the disappointments of not having a baby, and not having a baby, and not having a baby, and you faithfully stayed on track. Continue. Keep in God's way. His way is the best way. Even at times we don't understand, can't figure it all out. His way is the best way. Don't vary. Don't change a degree from what you've been, Brother Dave. All these years, unique in the sense that you've been in Belarus without a lot of fellow missionaries to help you and encourage you, and the results have just been a struggle and the constant battle with the government and so forth and so on, and you've stayed true. And now this is the greatest test by far. And I believe that God has great confidence in the two of you, that this is not going to shake you as far as changing your direction. Stay on in the same. I've said before so many times, if we vary 2 degrees at this point, it's very hard to differentiate 2 degrees, 88 degrees from 90. But Brother Dave, if you give that 5 or 10 years, people get way off if they vary just a little bit at a time of difficulty. Stay in God's way. Don't deviate. And Job said that. And then look what he said in verse number 12. He said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job said, "I'm going to keep God's way and I'm going to esteem God's word." And I know it goes without saying, I know you've been faithful in your Bible, but let me just encourage you to stay faithful in your Bible. This book is not magical. It's not some kind of mystical thing. It is supernatural. The power of God is in this book right here. Please don't run to it. Run to it. I spoke with a lady today who's, between her and her husband, they've lost 5 relatives in about 2 months time period. 5. Funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. I said, do you feel yourself slipping? And she said, there's been a couple times when I felt myself slipping. And I said, man, run to your Bible. And she said, that's what I've been doing. And that's what Job said. I'm going to esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If I have to make a choice between meat and potatoes or this book, Job said, I'm going to make sure that in this time of grief and sorrow and confusion and fog, I'm going to esteem his word over the physical food that I need. So esteem his word. He remembered that God is watching, God is waiting, God is working. And he said, because of that, I'm going to keep God's way and I'm going to esteem his word. 90 miles off the coast of Vancouver Island in the Pacific Ocean, there is a stretch of water known as the Zone of Silence. No sound can penetrate that area, no warnings or alarms can be heard from outside. It is acoustically dead. Along with that, not far under the surface of the water are dangerous reefs. And so the combination of the zone of silence, no sounds of warning, and the reefs below the surface, the combination has meant shipwreck for many a captain who did not successfully navigate through that zone. Now, you're in the zone of fog and silence now, where the answers you so desperately want just don't come. There are dangerous reefs below you. Bitterness, anger, despair, depression. The combination can cause you to shipwreck. But Dave and Jenny, remembering that God is watching, God is waiting, and God is working, and responding by keeping his way and esteeming his word, I believe you can successfully navigate through this time in your life. And may God make it so for you. We love you. I cannot say I know how you feel, but my heart grieves for you. And I trust that something that was said tonight will be an encouragement to both of you along the way. You have a lot of family and friends beside of you now to help you. But the difficult days are ahead. God's watching. God's waiting. God's working. Keep his way. Esteem his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're glad for the grace, the comfort, the peace that can be found in You, through You, in Your Word. And Lord, I'm glad that at times like this, You remember our frame. You know that we are but dust. Lord, if we struggle, if Dave and Gina struggle with emotions and questions and nagging doubts, I don't think, God, that You are surprised by that. You know that we're human. And I pray, God, that in this most difficult time in their life, that You'll be there. Maybe they won't be able to see You or feel You like Job. But I pray that Your Spirit who lives in them will help them remember that You are watching, You are waiting, and You are working. And I pray that they will keep Your way and esteem Your Word. And that, God, You will help them to successfully navigate through these choppy waters. Bless family, the friends who have come tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll bring comfort to their hearts in the days ahead. Give great wisdom to Dave, Gina, as they have decisions to make. And may Your grace be upon them. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. And amen. We're going to just close tonight by making it possible for you folks that are here and would like to just to slip by the front here and speak to Dave and Gina, shake hands with them, greet them. And then if you didn't get a chance to look at the items on the table in the foyer, they brought some of the items from the hospital. That there was a couple of nurses in the hospital in Missouri, and it's not a hospital thing. It's the nurses' own personal thing that they do when a mother loses a baby at birth. And they've taken some pictures of little Isaiah's feet and so forth. You might find that interesting and see the flowers out there. So if you'd like to come by and speak a word to them, they're going to stay right here and just come this direction and come by and shake hands with the family. And then if you want to fellowship for a while, you can. You certainly don't have to leave, or you can leave as you feel it's necessary. But thank you for being here tonight. A little bit different for a Wednesday night for us. But I'm glad we could have this time with Dave and Gina tonight. And God bless you very much. We love you, and we trust that God's grace will be sufficient. We know it will be. So let's stand together, and the ladies will play. And if you, for a few minutes, if you'd like to come by and speak to them, they don't have to play the whole time. You make your way around and speak to them tonight. God bless you.